Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. We're talking about the book of Romans this week, talking about what some of the scriptures say in there. We're going to go on a little further in the book of Romans here after we pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I praise you and worship you and thank you for the good things that you do for us. I thank you for this magnificent book, the Word of God. I thank you for these great and awesome statements you've made. And Lord, I thank you for revealing to us the truth of the Word of God. Now, Father, as we read and study and talk about your Word today, may you reveal it to us in a mighty way. And we thank you and praise you for this book of Romans. Now, Lord, as we talk about Romans chapter 4, I'm grateful for the things you put in it. But Romans 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 are all powerful, powerful, magnificent chapters. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we're talking about this last week, we were talking about the blessings of Abraham and God's blessings. So, and how you get these things. And so then, and we're going to take up right here in 4:14. And so we're going to kind of paraphrase all this as we talk about it. So if you still claim that God's blessings goes to those who are good enough, then you are saying that God's promises to those who have faith are meaningless. And faith is foolish. You don't have to have faith. But the fact of the matter is this. When we try to gain God's blessings and salvation by keeping his laws, we always end up under his anger. For we always fail to keep his law. The only way we can keep from breaking laws is not to have any to break. So God's blessings are given to us by faith as a free gift. We are certain to get them whether or not we follow Jewish customs if we have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of us all when it comes to these matters of faith. Now that is what the scriptures mean when they say that God made Abraham the father of many nations. God will accept all people in every nation who trusts God as Abraham did. And this promise is from God himself, who makes the dead live again and speaks of future events with such certainty as though they were already past. In other words, that scripture in the King James says the God that calls things that be not as though they were. But that's what he's doing there. He's calling things that be not as though they were. So when God told Abraham that he would give him a son who would have many descendants and become a great nation, Abraham believed God even though such a promise just couldn't come to pass. Now, physically, technically, looking at that from the world, that could not come to pass. And because he was too old and his wife was too old. But that just goes to show you what God can do through our faith. And because his faith was strong, Abraham's faith, he didn't worry about the facts that he was too old to be a father at the age of 100. It was only 100. And that his wife, Sarah, at 90 was also much too old to have a baby. Now then, Abraham never doubted God. He believed that God, for his faith and trust, grew even stronger, and he praised God for this blessing even before it happened. He was completely sure that God was well able to do anything he promised. And because of Abraham's faith, God forgave his sins and declared him not guilty. Now, this wonderful statement that he was accepted and approved through his faith wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was for you and me too, assuring us that God will accept us in the same way he accepted Abraham when we believe the promises of God who brought back Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He died for our sins and rose again to make us right with God, filling us with God's goodness. So now, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith in his promises, we can have real peace with him because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. For because of our faith, He has brought us into this place of highest privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to actually becoming all that God has had in mind for us to be. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us learn to be patient, and patience develops strength of character in us and helps us trust God more each time we use it, until finally our hope and faith are strong and steady. Then, when that happens, we are able to hold our heads high no matter what happens and know that all is well. For we know how dearly God loves us, and we feel this warm love everywhere within us because God has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. When we were utterly helpless, with no way of escape whatsoever, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at just the right time, He came and He died for us sinners who had no use for Him. Even if we were good, we really wouldn't expect anyone to die for us, though of course that might be barely possible for some. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since by His blood He did all this for us as sinners, how much more will He do for us now that He has declared us not guilty? Now He will save us from all of God's wrath to come. And since when we were His enemies, we were brought back to God by the death of His Son, what blessings He must have for us now that we are His friends or His children, and He is living within us, inside of us. Now we rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done in dying for our sins, making us children of God. When Adam sinned, sin entered the entire human race. His sin spread through death throughout all the world, so everything began to grow old and die, for all have sinned. We know that it was Adam's sin that caused this, because although, of course, people were sinning from the time of Adam until Moses, God did not in those days judge them guilty of death for breaking His laws, because He had not yet given His law to them, nor told them what He wanted them to do. So when their bodies died, it was not for their own sins, since they themselves had never disobeyed God's special law against eating the forbidden fruit, as Adam had. What a contrast between Adam and Christ, who was yet to come. And what a difference between man's sins and God's forgiveness. For this one man, Adam, brought death to many through his sin. But this one man, Jesus Christ, brought forgiveness to many through God's mercy. Adam's one sin brought the penalty of death to many, while Christ freely takes away many sins and gives glorious life instead. Now the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to be king over all. But all who will take God's gift of forgiveness and acquittal are kings of life because of this one man, Jesus Christ. When you get a hold of this verse right here in Romans 5:17, that we can reign and rule now on this earth because of what our Savior did for us, when you get a hold of that, it will change your life forever. Now, that verse clearly says that by the sin of this one man, Adam, it caused death to be king over all. But all, that includes you and me, who will take God's gift of forgiveness and acquittal, which that gift is Jesus Christ, we will become kings of life, and we will reign in life because of this one man, Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's sin brought punishment to all, But Christ's righteousness makes men right with God so they can live. Adam caused many to be sinners. Many. Because he disobeyed God. And Christ calls many to be made acceptable to God because he obeyed. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Ten Commandments, they were given so that all could see the extent of their failure to obey God's laws. But the more we see our sinfulness, the more we see God's abounding grace forgiving us. Before, sin ruled over all men and brought them to death. But now God's kindness rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well then, shall we keep on sinning so that God can keep on showing us more and more kindness and forgiveness? God forbid. Of course not. Should we keep on sinning when we don't have to? For sin's power over us was broken when we became Christians, and we were baptized to become a part of Jesus Christ. Through his death, the power of your sinful nature was shattered. Your old sin-loving nature was buried with him by baptism when he died. And when God the Father, with glorious power, brought him back to life again, you were given his wonderful new life to enjoy. For you have become a part of him, and so you died with him, so to speak, when he died, and now you share his new life and shall rise as he did. Your old evil desires were nailed to the cross with him. That part of you that loves to sin was crushed and fatally wounded, so that your sin-loving body is no longer under sin's control and no longer needs to be a slave to sin. For when you are dead to sin, you are free from all its allure and its power over you. And since your old sin-loving nature died with Christ, we know that you will share his new life. That's just the way life is. We want to share in his new life. Now, Christ rose from the dead and will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. He died once for all to end sin's power, but now he lives forever in unbroken fellowship with God. Praise the King. I'd like to invite you to give me a call, 940-242-2106, and we'd be happy to send you all kinds of audio and video teachings, DVDs, CDs, on our teachings. We have teachings on just about everything in the Bible. We'll be happy to send you a box of audio and video tapes, free and postpaid. We don't charge for our teaching. Now then, if you would like to go to our website, www.tlsm.org, tlsm.org, and there you can get a listing of many of our audio and video teachings and where we're going to be speaking, and we'd be happy to send you free and postpaid video and audio tapes. Have a blessed day in Christ.